Welcome back to the Sneak Diss, your weekly podcast on sneakers, sports, culture, and other nonsense, made by sneakerheads for sneakerheads. Find the podcast streaming on iTunes, Google Play Music, Stitcher, YouTube, and on the website, which is updated daily at www.thesneakdiss.com. Get at us on Twitter at @the_sneakdiss, Instagram at @thesneakdiss, and check out the Facebook page, The Sneak Diss Podcast. And now, on to the Sneak Diss.
Follow us or else.
Yo, episode 45, Greg, Ryan, no Ryan, George, no George. Welp, since the Sneak Diss Podcast family is currently working, because as we've said numerous times, we are just regular guys who enjoy sneakers. When I say we have regular jobs and we come back and do a podcast every single week for the listeners, I actually mean it. We come back and do a podcast just for the listeners. Ryan's not in the building today. George's not in the building. Both working. So today you're stuck with just my opinions. Episode 45. Obviously, number 45 is the comeback number for Jordan. Remember the first game back like it was yesterday, playing against the Pacers, sitting on the couch, mesmerized, just excited that he was back. It was just such an event. Number 45 is also Pedro Martinez. Man, World Series champion, obviously notable for Boston Red Sox, but I think he played for the Mets as well and Expos. Some of y'all might not know who the Expos are, but Montreal Expos was a baseball team. 45. Think about that. Rick Smits, Pacers. Ah, Jordan 45 back against the Pacers. Rick Smits on the Pacers. So, considering that it's just me today, you're going to be stuck with my opinions. Anything that I might say, let's just say it doesn't reflect on the thoughts of George or Ryan. This is just Greg today. So it might be a little different, but we feel like when we're talking to our listeners that we're talking to just the regular sneakerheads out there. We're talking to everybody who's just like us. You collect sneakers, you love them, and you enjoy them, and you follow sports, and you follow other current events in the world as well. So you enjoy listening to us, and we enjoy entertaining you, and we appreciate you guys taking time out of your day to listen to us. I mean, like I said, don't be bored at work. If you got headphones, put your headphones in. Don't be on that long subway, bus ride, train home. Put your headphones in. Listen to somebody talking about sneakers and giving a real opinion on everything that they feel is facts to us. We feel that they're facts, but you know, alternative facts has been thrown out there, which I kind of wish we jumped on that bandwagon early. But you can call them alternative facts. We don't care. We're just here to entertain you and talk about sneakers. Today, since Ryan isn't here, obviously we're going to talk about pickups, new releases. We're going to touch on, actually I want to touch on a new app that came out yesterday. It might have came out the day before yesterday, but it came out yesterday. Love it. All right. Also going to talk about LeBron and Barkley a little bit. Who's right? Who's wrong? Both wrong, both right. It doesn't really matter. Both is just here strictly for our entertainment. I'm going to talk about Supreme Uptempo, a video that came out of somebody wearing them on feet. They suck, obviously. And we're going to talk Nike and Adidas get political, which is kind of weird within itself, but it is what it is. So, pickups this week. Obviously, since I'm the only one here and Ryan isn't here and George isn't here, I have zero pickups. For all our listeners who might have forgot, I made the New Year's resolution that I'm not buying a sneaker until after May. So my first sneaker purchase will probably be June 1st. I also made the New Year's resolution that I'm not buying a Jordan in the year 2017, which I plan on sticking to because I don't think it's that hard. But I did finally complete all my debt for the Cowboys loss in the playoffs. Shout out to my brother-in-law, Edgar. He got my human races. I actually thought I could convince him to take other sneakers out of my closet. I even offered him multiples of other things. He wanted Pirate Blacks, which wasn't going to happen. I'm not going to lie. If you don't have a pair of human races, get a pair. They're great. They're great with sneakers, shorts, anything. They're just a great sneaker. They're definitely nowhere near as comfortable as an Ultra Boost, but I'm definitely going to miss those sneakers. And I could have just gave him cash. He said that, you know, I could just pay him $200 cash. But I didn't want to do that. I felt like, you know what? This is a lesson learned, and I will never bet with a pair of sneakers again. Ever. All right. Ever. What else happened? Oh, releases. So, releasing this week is obviously everybody's, I don't know if I want to say it's anticipated, but I think a lot of people are going to like them. I mean, a lot of people are going to buy them. And I actually think they might sit a lot of places, but I think Royalty 4s would do good. I think Jordan and Ryan are both said they're going to cop. I think they're a great sneaker. It's beautiful looking. It's nothing wrong with it. I just, like I said, I made my New Year resolution. And something about 4s. 4s with me, I don't want to say they get old quick, but I wear them a couple times, which I guess is pretty much majority of my sneakers. You wear them a couple times, and I think out of all Jordan sneakers, except 5s, I don't wear 5s, I think they might be the quickest Jordans that I find just sitting in my closet that I will go years without wearing. I'll wear a 6, I'll wear a 7, I'll even wear a 9, some 2s, 2 lows, and 1s, obviously. I'll wear those religiously, not religiously, but I'll wear them. You might catch me once a month in a Jordan, once every 2 weeks in a Jordan. But when it comes to a 4, it's not even on my radar anymore. But it's a great looking shoe. I think Ryan saw them in person today. He said they were beautiful. So I expect him to cop 15 pairs and George to cop one. Also, perforated ones. I guess a white pair and a black pair. Shout out to the homie Jay, all the way in China at Shanghai Soul. He has sent a picture of them a while ago. I think they're already out in China. He didn't know what they were. And when he sent the picture, I didn't know what they were. I mean, it looks like good materials, but if you didn't buy the Yin and Yang pack, don't even move for this one, because it would definitely be on that outlet / kick deals / whatever deals, sneaker steals, whatever you can get. They'll be cheap really soon. And also, which just finding out today, okay, so I guess the Adidas Superstar Shell Toe with Bape collab comes out this weekend as well. The shoe is awful, okay? I mean, it looks like it has prime knit and just a regular, it's like a shell toe mixed with a prime knit sneaker. Now, this is the kicker. I didn't know it had Boost, okay? You can't see the Boost on the outsole. In the insole, like on the instep of the foot, there's visible Boost, and it looks awful, okay? I mean, I don't know what direction they were going with that. And if anybody is out here waiting to cop those, you're ridiculous. I completely understand buying Bape NMDs. I do. I get it. Flawless, beautiful, worth the camping and the money. They're worth it. They are beautiful. These are hot trash, okay? So if anybody feels that I just have to have some type of Bape, some type of Bape Adidas collaboration, you're tripping. You're bugging for real, because these are trash, all right? And the fact that Adidas put visible Boost on it, and it's not even like a full Boost, it's just like a piece of Boost, which I'm assuming it goes through the whole shoe, or if it's just a piece of Boost stuck to the side of the shoe, I don't get it. Whatever you do, use your Googles and find it, and find all pics and all angles of the shoe, because it's awful. It's trash. So I think that's it. I mean, as far as releases, I mean, I think there's a few NMDs dropping. I'm not big on NMDs. I think there's like a couple prime knit NMDs dropping and just some regular ones. I think one is called like Glitch Camo. I don't know what it is. NMDs and Ultra Boost just seem to be just dropping daily. I mean, I have people at work who they're into sneakers, but they're not into sneakers that much. One of them came in this morning talking about, did I cop? Did you cop? I said, did I cop what? The Ultra Boost. I had no idea an Ultra Boost released today. Now, it might not have been a big release, but still, like, they're just falling out of the sky now. Pretty soon, they're just not gonna be hard to get. Actually, I don't even know if they're really hard to get now. I mean, only way you don't seem to get them is if you just don't try. So shout out to the original Boost. I ain't with this new Bape Supreme Shell Toe Boost, whatever that garbage is. So real quick, I want to talk about an app. Now, this is for everybody who sends those messages on Instagram and Twitter and emails when we discuss certain companies or certain businesses or people that we know that have businesses, when we talk about, you know, shout out to them or we like them or whatever, let's be clear. We don't get a single penny from any of them, all right? Not one person. We might get a discount here and there, but we're never have been paid 1 cent, okay? Period. So me discussing this app that I downloaded yesterday, we're not getting one penny. Now, let's be clear. If they want us to talk about them every single week on the Sneak This podcast, which you can find on iTunes, Google Play, YouTube, Stitcher Radio, and on our website, thesneakthis.com, we will. Facts. If they want to sponsor the Sneak This podcast, please let me know. So, without further ado, the Unboxed app. I've seen the IG on, I'm sorry, the IG page for quite a while now on IG. Just, you know, they follow us, we follow them. You know, you see a few posts here and there, you know. Obviously, for those ones who are quite vain, you check your likes to see who likes your stuff and things like that. And so I'd seen it a few times. And then I think I seen, it was either yesterday, whenever it was, and it said the app dropped. Went ahead and downloaded it. I like to give everything a shot. If you have a product or anything that you would like us to try and give our actual professional opinion about it on our podcast, and whether we encourage people to buy it or not buy it, or just don't really have an opinion about it whatsoever, one way or another, please let us know. Send it to me. Hit me up. You can send us whatever you got. I don't care if it's sneaker related. I don't care what it is. Whatever you got, we'll give it a shot. But the Unboxed app. First, what it is it's an app where you keep track of the pairs of sneakers that you currently own. This is based off of first glance and what I've already used it already. So it might do actually a lot more than I might explain to you guys. All I know is download it. That's it. While you're listening to this English podcast right now, get your phone, download it. It's a great app. The reason why I find it to be a great app, and I don't even know if the company is necessarily advertising it like this besides the obvious, but you download the app, it immediately is on there, and you get started immediately. It gives you two options in order to put your personal sneakers on the app. Now, this is a brand new app, so it has a scan the UPC code option on the app, where you scan the box UPC code and it automatically fills in the style of the shoe, a picture of the shoe, the company, the brand, the type of shoe, automatically puts that saved in the app. So you now, all you have to do is beep, scan your box, all your sneaker information, size, everything is placed into the app. Beautiful. Or, like I said, I tried it on a few other sneakers. It didn't work on a lot of my older pairs, and it might not have even worked on some of my newer pairs. And I'm sure that it's brand new and it's going to be updated with a bunch of new stuff soon and make it more convenient. But you have the option to obviously manually put in your sneakers into the app as well. You can put in the name, color, size, type, a picture of it. You can put in anything you want in the app to identify what you have in your sneaker. Now, doing it manually will take some time. I probably uploaded about 47 pairs of shoes into the app using the UPC scanner in under 25 minutes. Facts. All right. I was in the closet just sneakers on my phone. Now, you might think, what do I need this for? Like, it makes no sense. It makes plenty of sense why you need this. There are so many times when myself, George, Ryan, and I are hanging out and we're talking about our sneakers, and majority of the time, neither one of us can ever remember what we actually have in our closet. There are times that we all go in our closet and find a gem that we completely forgot we have. You also come across those situations where you're just at work or you're on lunch break or whatever you're doing, and you're trolling through Facebook, Craigslist, IG, whatever you're trolling through looking for sneakers, OfferUp. I've never used that and I wouldn't recommend it, but people do, where you'll come across somebody that is looking for trades or willing to make trades, and you always get that, you know, well, what do you have? oh, you know what? When I get off work and get home, I'll let you know what I have. I tell so many people that on Craigslist, Soul Collector, every single site that you can find sneakers on and people are willing to trade, or people know that you sell and they constantly hit you up and say, yo, you selling anything? What do you got, DS? Do you got any Jordans? You got any Kobe's? Of course we do. The problem is I can't remember which ones and I can't remember what sizes. I buy sizes 9.5 to 10. Some things I have a 9 in, some things I might have a 10.5 in. But it's hard to remember that. You can actually upload your entire collection on the app, and you can share it with other people who have the app, and they can look at your collection. That is gold in sneakerhead community. This is fact I'm speaking. And let's be clear. This is the first and the last time I'm going to talk about this because ain't nobody paying us. But Ryan and George, I'm definitely going to encourage them to download the same app, because if there's anybody who needs the app, it's definitely Ryan. Ryan's sneaker collection is insane, okay? When you're on Craigslist and you see somebody with something you want and they said they're willing to accept trades, if I can look at my phone and go through my collection from where I'm at, in my car, at my desk, anywhere but my house, and say, oh man, I wonder if he's willing to take this Kobe 8 EXT. Let him know, hey, are you willing to take this? I don't have to think about what I have at home, what's DS, what's worn once. I don't have to think it. I have it right there in my phone. This is not a commercial. This is an actual user who used something, and I have no problem praising it on our podcast. Like I said, this would be the last time, but I have no problem discussing it. When you go to sneaker conventions, shout out to Ben Hatto, shout out to Heat of Soul Summit, which are going to be here in April, I believe. And I think SneakerCon is coming to Phoenix for the first time coming soon. I think I heard that. There's nothing worse than trying to like take all your sneakers to a sneaker event. I mean, now sneaker events charge you to bring in per pair of shoes. To actually have the app on your phone and you can share it with somebody else, and you can say, yo, here's my entire collection. Whenever you get the chance, go through it and hit me up and let me know which pairs that you like. All right. Which pairs that you're interested in. And maybe we can meet up later, because I'm telling you this. I tell people this on every site. Yo. When I get home, I'm going to go through my collection and I'm going to let you know. I'm going to hit you up and let you know what I got. I've let Daniel know that's been on the host, that's hosted the show plenty of times. Daniel's asked me to tell him what I have and send him. I still haven't. And he's a friend. So that's how great this app is. Like, I'm telling you, it's just worth having. My brother-in-law constantly, every month, he gets some money or whatever he does, gets paid, I don't know what it is, and he says, yo, you got anything for sale? Man, I don't know. I'm driving. Let me get home and take a look. Yo, what's for sale? What you got, DS? What Jordans you got for sale? Man, I don't know. I'm going to get home. I'll go through it. I never go through it. There's nothing worse than going in the closet, looking through boxes and looking at stuff. And a lot of times when I'm looking at stuff that like Monday I'm willing to sell, Tuesday I look at it like, I might be able to still wear that. But like I said, the Unboxed app is great. It's just, you don't realize how great it is until you have it. You thinking to yourself, what do I need to have my entire sneaker collection on my phone? No, you do for specific things like that. There are cats that I work with, cats that I know that I might run into and be like, yo, you got anything? You want to trade anything? Yo, I don't have to think. I don't have to think. I don't have to go back and, yo, do you got a Jordan 8? I don't know, man. Let me think. I got so many sneakers. I don't know. You got a Space Jam 9? I hate calling it Space Jam 9, but you know what I mean. I don't know, man. Let me go home and check. I might have one in there. Who knows? I buy so much nonsense. I don't need to. I look at my phone. I got it there. Unboxed app. Download it. Don't ask any questions. Just download it. If you don't like it, undownload it. But trust me, you'll like it. It's not a big deal to have it. You have every single sneaker. I'm looking at my collection right now. While I'm talking to you, recording this episode for you guys, I'm looking at my collection. As soon as I tap it, it pops up. I got De La Soul Lows, Jordan 5s, Band 1s. I got Agassiz. I got Air Maxes in here. My Dunks, all my Cruises, Uncaged Boosts, Jordan 4s. I got Jordan Low ones. I got Kith Tubulars. I mean, I got AJKOs. I already have a bunch of sneakers that took me literally over 40 pairs of sneakers that took me less than 25 minutes to put in my phone. Unboxed app, downloaded, facts. All right. So I'm sure most of you who's in the sneakers, into the sneaker community and so, have seen the video, and there might be even pictures out there, of the Supreme Uptempo. Utter trash, okay? I don't understand I don't understand why the Air More Uptempo was chosen for the Supreme model. I don't get it. Supreme has historically always... Okay, let's put it this way. If you're into actual Supreme clothing, or you're into that style of clothing, I'm talking, you know, slim t-shirts, your jeans not too big, you know, some dope jackets, modernized skate style. If you're into that, you're not into wearing a gigantic, much more up-tempo boot. Nike itself barely got it correct with the OG. They barely got it correct putting letters on the side of a sneaker. The Air More Uptempo could easily be considered one of the worst sneakers, ugliest sneakers of all time, or one of the best sneakers of all time. Them putting the AIR on the side, and obviously all the air bubbles, pockets, whatever you want to call it, through the shoe, it was genius. The Air itself, seeing it on a basketball court, it was so pronounced. Like, wow, that's Air. That's like when Nike Air had been around for many years before they came out. But it was like, these are Air, all right? Dope. Barely did it right. They did it just right, and they were perfect for the era when we were all wearing giant jeans and giant sneakers. Nowadays, if you're under 5'10", wearing a giant sneaker like that, you just look ridiculous. You look like a capital L. These are cold, hard facts, all right? If you're skinny and you got on a gigantic Air More Uptempo, you look like a capital L, all right? Facts. If you're overweight and you got on a giant Air More Uptempo, it depends. I don't know. It's fine. If you're short like me, like I said, I might be 5'5", okay? I might be. Putting that shoe on me, I look ridiculous. I look like the shoes are holding me up. I look like a tetherball pole, all right? Cold hard facts. So the fact that Supreme, who has historically, not every single one, but majority of their Supreme collaborations with sneakers have all been what I like to deem as wearable. And I mean, you can wear them with anything, your jeans, shorts, etc. I'm talking, what do they got? They've had, Dunks, Blazers. They had trainers, which were like low trainers. They had Bruins. They had tennis classics, Flyknit, Lunars. Foamposites are another quote unquote boot, but the design on it was wow. I mean, it was awesome. I love Foamposites, Supreme Foamposites. A lot of people don't, but I actually like them. Would I ever buy them? No, because I'm not wearing construction boots, but it's a great looking shoe for anybody who can pull that off. What else have they made? They made Air Force Ones, which are wearable to a lot of people. Not to me. I consider those boots as well. Jordan 5, hit or miss. Air Max 98s. Millions of Vans, Supreme collaboration, and like Timberlands and Clarks, all right? All of those are wearable sneakers, in my opinion, excluding the foams and Tim's. I mean, it depends on where you are on the map, all right? If you in Florida wearing Tim's, chill. If you in New York wearing Tim's, great, all right? So for them to come out and choose that shoe and try to fit all those letters on a sneaker, I mean, you're talking about the entire word Supreme on a sneaker is whack. Like, I don't get it. And I don't feel that any Supreme collector or any Supreme head or whatever you call yourselves, you shouldn't want those. If you want them, it'd be strictly just to add them to your collection. But no person that I know who wears Supreme regularly, I can't say that word, who wears them often, wears Supreme often, well, shouldn't be interested in wearing those. Cold hard facts. I mean, they're going to sell out. It's Supreme. It doesn't matter. Supreme sells out of nonsense. But I hope that they hit retail, a little bit above retail, just like Air Max 98s. I mean, they're not wearable. They're ridiculous. So those, not a fan of. I know people are going to go for them and try for them. I mean, no. It's just, eh. So I'm sure a lot of people out there are familiar with what's going on with LeBron and Charles Barkley. You know, Chuck had, you know, some, well, actually, let's just kind of set the scene. So obviously the Cavs have been having a very hard time in the year 2017 and just playing basketball, it seems like. And LeBron has done a lot in the media, more than he's done historically over the years in his career, and talked about needing a playmaker and, you know, complaining about people's effort and things like that. And which I actually watched this episode of Inside the NBA on TNT and watched Barkley talk about it. And he made the point saying that he's whiny, which going to the media makes you whiny. I don't want to say he was whiny, but going to the media makes you whiny, that he just doesn't understand like why you can't compete. And he doesn't understand him making the point of we need a playmaker and things like that. And Chuck made the point, of saying, like, do you want every single good player in the league? And Chuck has a point, all right? We all, if you enjoy basketball and you look forward to Thursday night TNT basketball, you look forward to watching Barkley, Kenny Smith, Shaquille O'Neal, and Ertie Johnson. You just do, all right? Especially if you're a basketball fan. Barkley is as raw as it gets when he comes to his opinion, and we love it, all right? I love it. I am a huge LeBron fan, all right? LeBron is the last basketball jersey that wasn't a throwback Mitchell and Ness that I bought of a player still currently playing. That's it. And I'm talking about that LeBron jersey was my first jersey of a current player playing in probably 15 years. That's how much I do love LeBron as a person. Well, as a person from what I can see. I don't know how he is in real life. And as a basketball player, I think he's just as nice and as good as people claim that he is. So I personally agree with Barkley. I just don't understand how you can make a statement like that, that you need playmakers and things like that, when you have two all-stars on your team and people who I've literally seen argue on social media who has the best handles in the league. And I can't think of anybody over Kyrie that has better handles. He can make his own shot and get to the hoop anytime he feels like it. So, and then for LeBron to say they need a playmaker, LeBron has been called Magic Johnson. There was no greater playmaker than Magic Johnson. He's bigger, better scorer than Magic was. LeBron, you are the playmaker. They don't need another one. They have you. Kevin Love is an all-star. Now, he's not Kevin Love. At least I haven't viewed him as Kevin Love of Minnesota. But this is Kevin Love of Minnesota, who used to get the ball. He was the go-to guy in Minnesota and was at certain points, I think, played center or maybe power forward, the biggest player on the court. So he got 20 rebounds and a bunch of putbacks and things like that, which got him the big money and the big contract and all-star status and the clout of being Kevin Love. You have three all-stars, plus you have probably two of the most athletic players in the league in J.R. Smith and Amon Shumpert. These are facts. They're definitely in the top 10 most athletic players in the league. Whether it actually translates to putting the ball in the hoop, that's another story. I just don't understand. You have Tristan Thompson, who's an offensive rebound machine when I guess he feels like it. You have other core individual players on there, and you have some young talent on there. I don't know how much you need, especially after winning the championship last year. You have Channing Frye. I don't get it. I don't understand it. Now, whether LeBron is right or wrong, he should have never went to the media with it, only because it does make him look corny. He didn't have to do that. Because if I'm on his team, I'm like, yo, why you got to do that? Now, if somebody actually going to say that to LeBron's face, I don't know. But it wouldn't make me want to sit by him on the plane. I'd be upset. I'm like, we out here busting our butt too. We just won the championship last year. Like, we're going to be there in the championship again. Nobody in the East is better than the Cavs. I don't care if the Cavs tank every game from now on and get the eighth spot. They're going to be in the championship against most likely the Warriors again. So, I don't know. I thought it was kind of whack. I thought his statement against Chuck was, I don't know. I thought it was really weird. It just wasn't LeBron-like. Like, it was really... I mean, here at the Sneak This Podcast, we're quite brash and mean. I won't say mean, but we speak our mind. It was kind of mean. Like, it was just not like from LeBron. Like, I would expect other players to say that. I probably would even expect like a Kevin Durant to say something like that. He's very sensitive to stuff like that. LeBron never really bites when it comes to stuff like that. And there are plenty of sports analysts out there who talk awful about LeBron. Not even just analysts. I mean, just anybody who can get on TV and get a micro personality, they talk bad about LeBron. And I've never seen him go at any of them like he did Barkley. I mean, a lot of the stuff he said was personal. And Barkley strictly stuck to basketball. He didn't get personal with LeBron, whether he could or couldn't, but he didn't. So I thought that was a little whack. And I'm sure LeBron is just frustrated with the year. And hey, when you're the king, you get criticism from everywhere. You just get tired of hearing at some point. So I'm quite sure he just fed up. I hope they can talk one day. And like, I don't like it. I like it for my entertainment, but I don't like it. I don't know why. I think as I get older, I don't really care for stuff like that. I'd rather, now if it was LeBron and another player playing, talking junk like that, love it. Keep it going forever. But what an analyst is kind of like, I mean, you're talking about a Hall of Famer in Barkley who has zero championship rings. You know, he wasn't as fortunate as LeBron, but you know, it is what it is. But like I said, kind of a corny situation, but I agree with Chuck and I understand where LeBron's coming from, but hopefully that nonsense just fades away. So, I'm sure a lot of you are quite familiar with our new president, Donald Trump. I mean, geez. I'm not going to go as far as to say that, like, he's the first. But a lot of stuff that Donald Trump was out here spewing and saying during his campaign, he's actually doing it or attempting to do it. That's how I'll put it. And I'm not impressed, but it does a little bit makes you wonder, man, why? I mean, you just don't see that often. I mean, he's only been in there about a week and he's already banning Muslims and things like that. I mean, and he told us we were going to do it. Me and my Uncle Willis, shout out to my Uncle Willis. We're very big believers in believing people. We would go to parties, no joke. We would go to parties and we would make sure we would do a walk through the party, frat parties, whatever kind of party, hood parties. It didn't matter what kind of party it was. We would walk through the party, you know, dap up everybody, check out all the girls, get something to drink. And then we would go find the best post-up spot we could closest to the exit. We knew something was going to go down at some point. We would either go by the bar or by the speakers or by the exit, because when it went down, we were going to jump on top of the speakers or jump on top of the bar or just get out of there. We've been in numerous situations where we've been at parties. You know, you're at that party and it's not even a fight. It's just a scuffle. And that one guy says, you know what? I'm going to the car to get the heat. You know what me and Uncle Willis said? Oh, and the homie Chris, shout out to the homie Chris Crawley, family, them ain't even the homies, them is family. All of us, we'd be out when that person said, you know what, I'm going to get the gun. You know what we said? Y'all ready to go? We believed them. All right. When people were saying don't vote for Trump, it's because they believed him. One, because he just has no political background whatsoever. And two, it just takes away from how important that position is. It's the highest position within the country. I mean, my God, like, I see morons talking about vote Kanye. I would never vote for Kanye in a million years. I would never vote for any The Rock, Kanye. I don't care. I would never do that because I have the respect for that position. And that's a position I feel special people are for. Okay. Now, Nike came out and they, the CEO, I think Mark Parker, whatever his name is, CEO came out. And he put out a letter and it basically was expressing how, I guess Nike, you know, I wasn't too sure if this was like him or if he's speaking on behalf of the entire company, but he's against, obviously, the banning of Muslims and the travel ban and things like that. And he referenced, you know, Olympic champion Sir Mo Farah. I believe that's his name. I know the guy, watched him run. But, you know, I guess he had came out, Sir Mo Farah had came out and made a statement about when he's training in Ethiopia, whatever, how he was concerned with being able to get back home to his house in Oregon and see his wife and kids, which is completely something to be worried about. I mean, my God, like, I couldn't even imagine going somewhere traveling and being told I can't come back to my home. So, you know, Nike put out the letter and things like that and expressed how they're not for it. They're completely against it and everything, you know, of the sort. And, you know, I'm not going to say I believe them and don't believe them. I fully believe that they are against it and things like that. I just always have an issue with people who make these type of stance late. Like, it's late because I don't know if they maybe didn't believe Trump was going to do it, or maybe they never thought Trump would win. Who knows? I just kind of wish these type of statements and these stance from these big businesses, actually not even big business, because I have a problem when it comes to big business. Big business and Trump are hand in hand. I could see why somebody like a Nike CEO or Nike VPs or whoever would be fully for Trump if they're basing their vote and their stance to vote for him or whatever strictly on business. I completely understand that. When I go and vote, which I've had many talks with, you know, personal friends of ours, shout out to the homie Dewan. When I go and vote, me and my wife, we're doing okay. George, he's doing okay. Ryan's doing okay. We're not out here struggling. I'm not going to sit there and act like we are. I'm not going to say that we've never struggled before, but we're doing okay out here. And when I vote on how it would affect people that I know and that I steal around and socialize with on a daily basis. So that's how I vote. Even though for business, my wife owns her own business. She's a realtor. I could see why she would vote for Trump with the thought of he's going to help business. And her being Hispanic and growing up in the hood and having struggles growing up, I could see why she would. So I always kind of wish that these type of statements come out prior to somebody being elected into the office. I appreciate them coming out with this. I don't think it has any effect on the quote unquote sneakerhead, whether he'll continue to buy Nikes, buy more Nikes, or no longer buy Nikes, whatever. You never know. I mean, there's just so many, like, there's so many different people out there. I don't know. It might be some that are like, oh, I'll never buy a Nike again. I mean, you have to be really within your feelings and strong to just be like, I'm never buying a Nike again. I mean, you're talking about a company that dominates everything. And then you have Adidas, who came out, I don't know, the same week or a week later. I'm expressing the same stance. You know, they're not for this type of, you know, treatment against anybody, and, you know, using sports and race and religion and sexual orientation to bring people together, which all 100% agree. I just wish these type of stance and comments and letters came out earlier. I do. And I'm not going to sit there and act like that their remarks or how they felt isn't genuine. I 100% believe and agree that they do feel this way, especially with a lot of them who have athletes who are Muslim, especially Adidas. I mean, you're talking about soccer and things like that. I mean, Adidas is heavy overseas. You got to understand that they have a lot of Muslims that probably support their brand. But then you think back and it's kind of like, you know, historically Nike has been, you know, known and accused of using child labor, sweatshops and things like that in order to create their products, which have been known to, you know, use this specific type of labor, and it might cost, which I don't know these for facts, but anywhere from $2 to $8 to create a sneaker that comes over here and is sold to us for hundreds of dollars. So they've always faced that type of stain on their reputation. And there's people who strongly fight against that and strongly believe that and would never buy a Nike or support them. But right now, we're in the era of, I'll be honest with you, we're in the era of fake concern. Like, fake concern is trendy nowadays. It just is. I mean, like, let's just up with Adidas. Kanye, in his concert, I mean, declared, you know, he would vote for Trump and met with Trump. I didn't see Adidas making any statement saying that anything that Kanye does on his own time or any meeting does not reflect the views of Adidas. Now, if they did, I apologize. I'm wrong. I apologize and I'm sorry. Maybe I missed it or maybe I didn't do enough research. But having your quote unquote star player, I don't, he's not even a player. He's just a person, figure, who has taken Adidas, not even Adidas, I mean, just, it's put it to the forefront. He has, period. And you don't make a stance against that. You don't say, hey, Kanye is one of ours. Whatever he's doing with regards to the current president is with Kanye and his own, does not reflect the views or anything from Adidas. I never saw that. So it's just one of those things. And Adidas has always had that, I don't know too much about it, but the founders, you know, ties with the Nazi party. I don't know how much I read into that, because back in those days when you're creating a business in Germany, in those times, if you didn't have some type of connection to the Nazi party, they were gonna take you out. So I'm not gonna say these people believed in it, but anyway, that's always been something that's been a tarnish on Adidas. So I do appreciate them putting this out there. I personally still look at them as big business. Might every single person at Nike and every single person at Adidas might have voted for Trump for all I know. And we'll never know that. That's why I never base my political views or religion, things like that, off of the others that I don't know. I don't care who gets on TV or sends a letter or says, I'm against this. I don't care if a Kardashian or Kanye says I'm against this, because I don't know if they truly are. All right. They could be appeasing the masses that enjoy them. Okay. I enjoy Kanye as an entertainer. He does some stuff where I'm just like, man, bro, sit down. All right. And he does some great stuff that, like, you just love him to death. And I love his sneakers and things like that. But like I said, there's a lot of concern out here with things like that. Not saying it's all fake, but it just seems like nowadays it's just trendy just to be woke. A lot of people didn't even vote. They didn't even vote. And they have these strong opinions on things like that. And, you know, when it comes to sneakerheads, I honestly, you can get yourself in a room, a convention, a sneaker con, a Ben Had Those Fest, Heated Soul Summit. You can get inside any of these events and you might not hear one political view whatsoever. And it's kind of the great thing about being a part of the sneaker culture. It's strictly about the sneaker culture. And you leave the outside world outside. So, I don't know. I'm not going to say one way or the other. I just really wish that people as powerful as a Nike and things like that, whether they were truly meant it or not, took these stance during the election. Once again, they might have, and I don't know it, and I'm just unaware or uninformed, but that would make me care a little bit more about it, because I'm not gonna stop buying Yeezys and I'm not gonna stop buying Nikes and I'm not gonna buy more. Like, it just is what it is. I mean, I appreciate them making their point, but I mean, what do you do? Like I said, it's just big business. I don't know. That's just my opinion. Like I said, doesn't reflect George, Ryan, anything like that. I just think that once you start trying to mix politics and sneaker companies and sneakers, that's fine. But to the actual consumer of the sneaker, I don't know how many care. I mean, a lot of the major consumers right now who are probably buying sneakers might not even be of age of vote to vote. So, but that's just my opinion. Not of George, not of Ryan, not of anything. It's just how I feel. I don't know if I said at the top of the show, but I'm doing a top 10 today of my own. This comes off a discussion that I had with the homie at work. Shout out to the homie Rudo. but that's the homie. And we get in basketball discussions, sneaker discussions every day. And we were talking about NBA players. Actually, I was trying to convince him, and I was throwing out NBA player names of players who had all the tools and just couldn't put it together for some reason, or teams just didn't see it in them. So, top 10 today, NBA players, I guess, just wasn't quite there. I have some honorable mentions. Marquise Daniels. I think the last team he might have played for was the Celtics. I think he had a lot of the tools to be good at basketball. I do. I don't think, I think he was really good. I think he was kind of underrated, but I think what hurt him the most was his look. He just looked unconcerned all the time. And a lot of people might not even know who he is. I mean, for all I know, I'm sure a lot of the older people might know. Actually, I think his last team he played for might have been the Bucks, but I don't know. I'm sure he's made a large amount of money, but I think he had all the tools to be a lot better than what he is. And for him to be as young as he is, I think he might be 30 and not to be in the league anymore. That's kind of whack. So I'm going to mention Marquise Daniels. Also, I have Zach LaVine. I only have Zach LaVine on here because he's still playing. I think he's in his second year, third year. He's young. All right. I don't even know if he's 21 yet, but he's a young player. But you know what I see in him? I see that player who can't do it every single night. And I see that player with the all the tools who is excellent trade bait. Like, you can throw him in a package or trade him for somebody or an option that you really need on his team. That's what I see right now. He's having a great year. I think he's averaging about 19 points a game. So I want to be wrong. And this is nothing against him. I mean, he's a true sneakerhead as well. He hoops in some dope sneakers. But I do have him on the list. I have Sean Marion, honorable mention, only because he played in that era with Nash. And I think Nash did make a lot of the Suns players a lot better than they are, because once they ventured off, they were just never the same. Stoudemire was never the same. Marion was never the same. Joe Johnson was never the same. There were a lot of Suns players who just were never. Q Richardson, they just never were the same. Also, I got Jalen Rose. I don't know why I have Jalen Rose on here. I just don't care for his NBA commentary. He's corny. I think I thought he was going to be a lot better than what he was. He was decent. He was serviceable. His best years are probably Pacers. I think he had a few good years on the Bulls. But, I'm going to mention again. I mean, also, Antoine Walker. I understand he had his own demons and stuff that he was fighting. But Antoine Walker had skill. All right. He can shoot every once in a while. Man, he could put the shoulder on you, drive to the hole, back you up, put you on the block. He was a good player. He had problems, I think, with alcohol, money, things like that. I remember seeing him at a club out here, Club Next, cracking. I didn't even think Antoine Walker was that tall. He was huge, all right? And I could definitely see him spending his money because he was wearing Gucci from head to toe. He was wearing a Gucci, like, shoulder bag. I don't even know why. We're at the club. What do you got? What do you got? College books? Anyways, and Amari Stoudemire. I hate having Amari Stoudemire on this list only because I have him on here because Stoudemire had the potential to be a top 10 greatest player of all time. Facts. Debate me if you want to. He had all the tools to be a top 10 greatest basketball player of all time. Problem with Stoudemire is he got caught up in the dunking. My uncle tell me also all the time, all that dunking, it's going to break you down. And all that dunking, it wore on him. It wore on his knees. We're seeing it with Blake Griffin. Blake Griffin made his name, great player, but he made his name off some spectacular dunking, things like that. Now you watch Griffin play, you get a boring free throw line jump shot. And that's the best you're going to get out of him. You might get a quick spin move, little slam, you might. But I think the days of seeing like Griffin ever dunk over anybody are over. And Stoudemire was that player. I remember watching an episode of SportsCenter, and they asked Mark Cuban, which player in the league you would die to have or you would love to start your franchise with? And he chose Amari Stoudemire at that time. And Amari Stoudemire was a beast. And if you don't know, please use your Googles. So those are my honorable mentions. Get right to it. Number 10, Luau Deng. I don't believe in any Duke player. I think Kyrie Irving might be the greatest Duke player of all time. I mean, Grant Hill had that potential, kept getting hurt. But Duke players just don't seem to pan out. And I'm talking about your Carlos Boozers. I'm talking about your, Riddick on the Clippers. He's doing fine. But like I said, I'm talking about your Bobby Hurleys, your Carlos Boozers, your Dante Jones. Was he on there? I don't remember. But there's a plethora of Duke players that come out where you're just like, nope. Luau Deng, I think he has the skill set. He has the body for it. He had a good shot. I don't know. I don't know if he just started getting older. It just kind of faded away. I think the game got a little too fast for him. Like, I think he only had a few dimensions to his game that worked for a while. And then you realized you're not really going to get anywhere with him, and he can't be your main guy. I think right now Luau Deng is on the Lakers, which was shocking. He was on the Heat, Bulls. He's on a few teams, and I think he might have been on Atlanta at one point. Oh, no, actually, Atlanta didn't want to put him on the team because he's African, but that's another story. Number 9, Antonio Daniels. A lot of people don't remember Antonio Daniels. I think his best years might have been on the Spurs. I think he played for Texas, University of Texas. I always loved Antonio Daniels. I thought he was a great player in the NBA. Just couldn't put it together. I don't know if it was injuries, things like that, but it was just something with him. I think his most famous moment was being crossed up twice by Iverson. Iverson made him fall to the ground when he was on the Wizards. I think that might be his greatest NBA moment. Number 8, Marvin Williams out of North Carolina, drafted number 2 overall. I don't remember what year it was. He was drafted solely off perfect body, size, type, athletic skills. That was it. He didn't show that much at North Carolina to where you thought, gotta have him. But he had all the tools and everything. Never panned out. I think he's on the Hornets now, I believe. But he was on Utah. Marvin Williams started out on, I don't remember. I can't remember, but he never panned out. He was awful. He had flashes. I think he was on the Hawks at one point. He had flashes, but he just never figured it out. Number 7, Q Richardson. Q Richardson was a great player, a great athlete, fun to watch, young, energetic. At some point, he just fell in love with the three-pointer. You can't fall in love with the three-pointer when you're a slightly above average three-point shooter. And this is based off of volume. I mean, Quinn Richardson is the type that would take 10 threes and make 4, 5. But you would forget about the 10 that he took because he made those 4 and 5 when it counted and when you needed it. But I think he had so much to offer. I think that little area, I think they could have possibly had something early on in the Clippers with him and Darius Miles on the same team. But I think they were too young. Darius Miles came out of high school. Quinn Richardson, I think, played 1 year at DePaul. I think that's where he was. Just never panned out. Number 6, Jeff Green. I don't even know what team Jeff Green is on now. I'm going to say Hornets, but I could be wrong. The last team I remember Jeff Green being on was the Grizzlies and the Clippers for a little bit. I mean, he had those flashes in Boston, and you thought, whoa, we might have something special coming off the bench. And people wanted him. They saw what he can be. Never. Inconsistent. Didn't seem concerned. And I'm not trying to be personal with these players or talk junk about them. But I would hope if you ask any of these players I'm talking about, they would say the same thing, that they just couldn't put it together. I mean, let's be honest. Where am I at? Number 5, Josh Howard. A lot of you might not remember Josh Howard. A lot of you sneakerheads love Josh Howard PEs. Jordan PEs, another Jordan athlete. It's just a bad signing by Jordan. Jordan has no eye for picking talent on the Hornets team or his brand, period. For some odd reason, I mean, the best players that Jordan brand has, they all play in the NFL or baseball. But basketball-wise, Jordan has an awful eye for that kid can play basketball, sign him to my brand. Facts. Debate me if you want to. Josh Howard, body, post up, nice little soft free throw line, mid-range jumper. Gah, just stopped. It just didn't seem like a priority for him to get better. It didn't seem like a priority for him to be that guy. I think the last team he might have been on was the Mavericks. I don't know. That's the last team I remember him on. Only thing I remember him for is wearing a headband. He had yellow teeth. And he had Jordan PEs. That was it. Number four, Gerald Green. I mean, can jump out of the building. All right. Talent, skills, athleticism, speed. Can shoot every once in a while. Can create his own shot. Has all the tools. He might have been on 15 NBA teams. This is what I see in Zach LaVine. I don't want to see this in Zach LaVine. I love Zach LaVine. He's a great athlete, a great basketball player. I don't want to see Gerald Green and Zach LaVine, but I'm seeing that early, and Gerald Green is now in the Celtics, can't even get in the game. And I'm talking about a Celtics team that's kind of offensively challenged other than Isaiah Thomas, and maybe you get something out of Smart, and maybe you get something out of Crowder, and you have a weapon who can create his own shot on the bench. Weapon, you know, not a weapon of mass destruction. You know, it might be like one of them super soakers with that backpack, you know, back in the day. But he didn't get used. So that's my number four. Number three, Kenneth Faried. Kenneth Faried showed extreme flash and promises the last, what, 4 years, 5 years? And I'm talking, I mean, rebounding, energy, talent around the basket. He showed it. I mean, I don't put a lot of weight in basketball players that have dreadlocks, but he was like, whoa, can dunk on you. I mean, he was good, and he's on the Nuggets team that could have used somebody like that. He's still in the Nuggets, I believe, but just never fully put it together. I thought he was going to be an all-star for years. I mean, he's a little undersized, but he's kind of like the original Draymond Green. Draymond Green is better at basketball, but Kenneth Faried had that in him as well and just couldn't figure it out. Number two, one of my favorite just human beings just watching from the outside, J.R. Smith. J.R. Smith, I mean, I just think he's cool. I'm not even going to sound like a fan or a stan or even a weird creep. I mean, if I wasn't married, I would do anything possible to kick it with J.R. Smith. Facts. All right. I'm talking about a week. All right. If I could just hang out a week with J.R. Smith and just do everything that he does, it would be one of the greatest days, weeks ever. I just would imagine that. But J.R. Smith has the skills. Early on in his career, when he think got drafted by the Hornets, I think he was 14th overall out of high school. High school was young for any athlete. He couldn't get to practice on time. A little defiant. I think hard work kind of scared him. I think he sees it now. And I think it's easy for him to see it now because he doesn't have any high expectations on him except, hey, JR, you know, just put the ball in the hoop every once in a while. And we're fine with it. But he's just cool. But, like, I think JR Smith is another one of those players who could have been a lot more than what he is. He's a little undersized, a little bit. You might want to even lump in Iman Shumpert with him. Let's go 2A and 2B, J.R. Smith and Iman Shumpert. Iman Shumpert showed flashes in New York, like, ho. Defensively, wow. Offense, when he was trying to score, he could score. He doesn't even try to score anymore. I mean, there's a few games I watched back with Cleveland, and he was balling. And I'm like, he can do this night in and night out. I just don't know if he cares to do it. I don't understand. I don't understand why he's not as good as he is. So number two, let's go ahead and change that. J.R. Smith / Iman Shumpert. Number one on the top 10 NBA players, I feel had or has all the tools to be a great player. Number one, Josh Smith. Josh Smith had the size. Another one out of high school, I think, came out the exact same year as J.R. Smith. Had the size, had the skill. He didn't have the head for the game. He didn't have the care. I mean, he just kind of went through the motions. And then can block shots for his size. Ridiculous at blocking shots. He had a keen sense of knowledge of where the ball was. But he came off as the type, you know, you don't know which player you're going to get on Monday compared to the player you're going to get on Tuesday. And this is completely, a NBA player talking to, telling me this, that they played with him and they said that Josh Smith would come in on a Monday and you think he's Michael Jordan and come in on a Tuesday, you have no idea he was in the NBA. Someone told me that. Not going to name names. Somebody told me that. I actually seen Josh Smith at Club Next 2, which Next might be the greatest club in Arizona history of all time. And man, you talk about a bad dresser. You wouldn't even know he was rich. I mean, he dressed like a high school kid graduating. He dressed like a middle school kid, you know, when you're getting promoted. I mean, I had the biggest button-down shirt I've ever seen in my entire life. Biggest jeans, too. I don't know. What was that? I mean, you have no idea he makes millions of dollars. Anyways, like I said, that was my list of top 10 NBA players who I feel should have been better than what they were. I'll recap real quick. Luol Deng, number 10. Number 9, Antonio Daniels. Number 8, Marvin Williams. Number 7, Quinn Richardson. Number 6, Jeff Green. Number 5, Josh Howard. Number 4, Gerald Green. Number 3, Kenneth Faried. Number 2, J.R. Smith / Iman Shumpert. And number 1, Josh Smith. Like I said, anything I said today, strictly my opinions. Doesn't affect George's, no views on George, nothing on Ryan's views. Strictly Greg, appreciate you listening. Hope this wasn't too bad. I know it's quite different podcast episode than you're used to. We talk sneakers, politics, sneaker companies, NBA. We did it all today. Follow us on IG. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook page. Download us on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher Radio. Please review us. Please comment. YouTube. We appreciate it. Email us. And as always, that's Sneak This.